Cliff Central. The revolution.
I've got something important to tell you.
CliffCentral.com.
Auto Central, powered by Auto Trader on CliffCentral.com.
Welcome to Auto Central Motoring's biggest power hour, powered by Auto Trader, your trusted motoring marketplace. Join the conversations with us today on Facebook and Twitter at Auto Trader SA, and remember to use our hashtag Auto Central in your tweets. Full studio today, awesome show lined up. Let's say good morning to everyone. Teppo, how you doing, bud?
Eight hours. I'm floating. Especially after the especially after the 4x4 experience at Swarkops, I'm actually quite
floating. Fantastic. Yeah. George Minion studio with us again today. George, nice to have you back.
Brilliant stuff. How's it, Tyron?
Yeah, I'm very, very well.
A little bit of the flu, so I might not sound like me.
You got your radio
Stay far from us.
Stay far from you.
Yeah.
You are far from that.
Exactly. Chad, look off. How you doing, Chad?
Not yourself, Ty.
Fantastic. Interesting weekend. You and I are chatting off air.
Quite a, I don't know if you could call it a weekend, actually.
It was lots of driving.
It was a lot of work, a lot of driving. Quite stressful when you do that kind of thing, believe it or not.
Fantastic. Yeah, and then, we got a studio guest today, and I need to get this right.
Yeah, I'm actually waiting for this. I want to hear how you pronounce it.
Konstantin von Fecher from SAS Messe Frankfurt. Did I get it right?
No.
No, okay.
I was wondering, is it that easy, actually? Because I looked at him like, how do you say this?
But it was good enough. It's Konstantin von Fecher.
Konstantin van Fiege.
Then why didn't you do the intro?
I was not quite sure. I was going to go the Von route, so, you know.
Yeah, okay. Well, anyway, Konstantin, very nice to have you in studio. Like I said, you are the CEO of SAS Messe Frankfurt, and you guys are organizing the SA Festival of Motoring that's going down this week at Kyalami.
That's correct, yes.
Fantastic. I think just by having a look and you know, the bit of chatter that's happening in the industry, it looks to be an absolutely amazing show, and I think we'll dig into that in a couple of minutes.
Okay.
And it's great to have you with us, and feel free to say whatever you want.
Does it mean we're invited? Is that what it means?
That's exactly what it means. So just some things in the news. I don't know if you guys saw last week some crazy stuff happening. There was a massive sinkhole in Cape Town that swallowed some lady's car, which is rather interesting.
Wasn't it two blokes that were driving along and they plowed into that in like a little Hyundai Getz?
Yeah, I think it was a was it an R10?
Picanto.
Is it a Picanto? Yeah.
No.
It must be a little
bigger than that, because a Picanto, I think, would have gotten lost in that hole.
So it says a huge sinkhole appeared in one of the city's suburbs, swallowing a Kia Picanto and attracting a small crowd. Yeah,
in the Western Cape, of all places.
Yeah.
Where
the roads work.
Is that what you call working roads, ne?
And they'll fix it in 2 days, I bet you.
After this guy is...
It's probably fixed already. Then some...
But that's not a pothole. That's like a basement parking.
Yeah, exactly.
Jeez.
Then some clown in Durban got an 18,000 rand speeding fine. He got caught travelling at 220 k's an hour.
No, that's nag. That's no admission of guilt. That's just do not pass go. Go straight to jail.
Straight to jail.
The bangles. Yeah. Here's jewellery for you.
He was in his Golf 6 GTR. That was absolutely free.
He can be forgiven.
Wait, how much in a GTR?
Probably wasn't
200
a club sport
220.
Yeah.
Nah.
What?
Oh, wait. Durban stock.
Durban
stock.
Obviously had some work.
What do you mean? What do you mean, Chad? What is it now?
Here comes the admission of guilt.
Yeah. No. I'm just saying. It could go faster.
Is that what you mean?
It should be able to go faster. I'm just surprised it's going that fast. Let's put it that way.
But the car can go faster, right?
Yeah.
Because top speed is about 260 on the Golf GTS 6.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, the 5 is at 300. The 6 is about 260. And the 7 is all about 260. I mean, on the clock, that's what it says.
The clock means squat, dude.
Yeah, but I mean...
No, the clock means nothing. No. How old are you? 7. Because that's a 7-year-old approach. Hey, let me look at the clocks. Let me see how fast it goes. Hey, it's marked to 320. That must go... No, dude, it's limited to 250.
You actually look disappointed that you only did 220.
Yeah.
You could have done better, ne?
Yeah.
How do you get arrested for such low speed? Like, who are you?
But talking about
arrested... How do you make the news?
Yeah. There was a prisoner, and the videos on YouTube was actually quite funny. This guy's in the back of this cop van in America, and he's banging on the glass, and he's trying to kick the glass in, and you can hear the cop on the radio, like calling his channel, saying, listen, I've got an issue here. And the next thing... He has an accident, and this prisoner gets flung out the back window. So he managed to get away, but he was caught. Right after.
What
that.
Car was it?
I don't know. It was a cop car.
See, if it was a fast cop car, he would not even have dared to try it.
He wouldn't have had the accident. Well, we'll get into cop cars later.
I saw a YouTube video not so long ago with someone breaking out of the back of a cop van somewhere near Nelspruit.
Oh, really?
It's because these cars are slow. If they were any faster, you will never get out of
the other than he had the key.
The cop van stopped, walked into a shop. You see them getting. There was CCTV footage. footage. You see them getting out, going into the shops, and as soon as they're in the shops, you see this guy start kicking that door.
And he kicks it out.
And he kicks. Eventually, he bent the bottom open. He slid out of there. Go and on. Bolted.
Jeez, no, God. Man, it's all planned.
And everybody around just watching.
Yeah,
it's all planned. But you really think he escaped? You can't kick that door open. It was planned. They knew they had to take the bucket with the faulty door to let this guy go. He must have paid something.
Is that the voice of experience talking there?
No, it's just
reality. How do you know that it's not easy?
I live in this country.
He just knows. He just knows.
Have you been in the back of that bucket?
I have actually. Cops gave us a lift once.
A lift?
Yeah.
Oh, really? Do you know that's illegal? Do you know they're not to give you lifts?
Well, they did.
No, yeah. Anyway. Are you sure it was a lift? Or they lifted you, you mean?
No, they gave us a lift.
Anyway.
We asked for a lift. They gave us a lift. And then, yeah, some very, very exciting news. And, George, maybe you can, you and I can elaborate on this a bit. But Auto Trader is now the official partner to Coty as a communications partner. Is that correct?
Yeah, very, very exciting. I think you know, Coty's been doing a brilliant job, but we're gonna see if we can help up the ante a little bit this year and become a major part of Car of the Year.
Yeah, and just really kind of elevate the show and what it's all about.
Yeah, I mean, we're gonna help with the marketing. We're gonna help with as much as we can help with, to be honest.
Yes.
But we're gonna take a brilliant show and see if we can, you know, add another layer on top of that.
Absolutely fantastic. All right, so now into the exciting stuff. Let's talk SA Festival of Motoring.
Yes.
Constantine, yeah, I think give us a bit of a history. Tell us. Well, we know it's the first one that's happening in South Africa, but you alluded earlier that it's the first one that's happening ever. Yeah, tell us a bit about the show.
Yeah, okay. So first of all, to have a car show in this country is nothing new. So we were the guys that also brought you Auto Africa and Johannesburg International Motor Show. But what we saw worldwide is that the auto shows needed to evolve. They needed to move to a different level, because I think the one thing with cars is you don't just want to see them standing around. You actually want them to see an action. You actually want to hear them. You want to smell them. You want to experience them. And so that's why the auto industry came to us and said, look, you know, give us a new concept that moves away from the Johannesburg International Motor Show and makes it much more exciting for all the people in the country, and also make it broader when it comes to audience, because, you know, we also want families there. We want a festival, and that's what we did. We basically, the first thing we did, we moved locations, and it's gonna be now at the Car Alarmi Racetrack. So that we have the opportunity to actually race the cars or drive the cars, and it's going to be a complete festival atmosphere. So it's going to be starting now on Wednesday, 2 days to go. Then we're going to start, and we're open till 9 o'clock every evening.
That's
so
fantastic.
So so even if you want to come after hours, it's a good show to come after hours. We have even discounted tickets after 5, and our main music act every evening starts at 6 o'clock in the evening. But it's a real festival, and we are celebrating the automotive industry at this show.
Absolutely.
You know what's brilliant? Yes. I can't understand going to a motoring show if there's no track or there's no road and you can actually see the cars demonstrated.
Yes.
Whereas this is, you know, at one of the newest tracks in the country, which is Car Alarmi. I mean, it's old track, but it's new. And I think that's brilliant. That's one of the best things about the
My bad.
Chad.
What are you doing?
Jazz watching YouTube. Sorry, George, carry on.
So the fact that you're doing it at a track and you're gonna have some of these cars on the track is phenomenal for me.
Yeah, I think hearing it and smelling it and seeing it, it all adds to the festival kind of atmosphere. Right. And just having a look at, you know, having a look at the website and looking at ticket prices and stuff, I don't think it's an overpriced event, and I think you guys absolutely cater to everybody. So somebody like myself who's got kids, I know that I'm going to have a fantastic time because you guys are catering for the entire family.
And the one thing about ticket price, because we do, it's like social media, you know, it doesn't matter what ticket price you put up, people will always say it's too expensive. The one thing to know about this ticket, though, is once you're in, we're not charging you for test driving the cars. We're not charging you to look at the stunt show or for the entertainment. Once you're in, you're in. There's no other costs involved once you're on the show. That's one of the things that always irritates me when I go to a festival. I pay entry ticket and then, in order to do one thing, I have to pay another 50, 60 rand. No, everything is for free. The whole kids activation area is for free. The test driving on the track is for free. Being like a passenger in a supercar is also not being charged for. So, So basically, it is a. It's like once you're in, you're in, and So you're absolutely right. It's a very good value for money for this massive kind of show that we have lined up there.
How are you going to deal with the queues? I mean, if everything's free when you get in, or free when you get in, but everything's paid for by the ticket price, and usually the price of the activation or what you want to do causes people to, you know, go there in drips and drabs. Whereas now you're probably going to deal with massive amounts of queues. How are you dealing with that?
Well, it's a massive show. It's a massive show. So even though and it's a massive area that we are talking about, Kailami is quite a big venue. So you're not going to feel that there's so many people there. And I think if you're serious about cars and you want to get into the cars, then your best bet is to actually come between Wednesday and Friday.
Yeah.
Because I believe that there are not going to be too many queues there. And again, we have not just like two or three cars that you can get into. No, we have different areas. We have an OEM village where you can test drive yourself, then out of the race car pits. And there's a little handling track inside where you actually have like a Mercedes is activating this one, where you can get an AMG experience on that little handling track. Then we have a 4x4 track where you can get into the car. So there are many, many different areas you can actually experience on the show. So it's we can cater for quite a lot of people, giving them a good experience.
Absolutely. I mean, I see you guys have got hospitality suites. There's obviously the test drive, which you've mentioned. Can you unpack the vintage and the classic cars for us a little bit?
Yes. So basically, this was like a part of the festival. Because what we are saying is we're celebrating the car industry or the automotive industry. And one of the things is, if you want to celebrate the car industry, you cannot forget where you're coming from. So you have to bring in the most interesting classics that you can find in the country. So we have different themed marquees, as you will, like, you know, a proudly South African, like racing classics. And we also have like invited car clubs to actually come and display their most interesting cars that they consider the most interesting cars out of their car clubs to display those vehicles. So it's and we also are going to allow them to have parades from time to time on the track where you can actually see those old cars. And again, it's about smelling and feeling and hearing those cars on the track to have the kind of a parade from time to time.
Yeah, I think if you guys jump on and it is safestivalofmotoring.com.
Correct.
You can see the kind of the stuff that's going to go down. I know that this is, you know, it's definitely a show that I would want to go to. I think you don't have to be a petrol head to go and experience a motor show like this. I think this is a show that's been put, you know, together for the general public, and you guys are absolutely appealing to a really, really, you know, wide range of people.
Well, I mean, I think talking before the show, the different way in which you've put the show together, and the word festival kind of captures it for me.
Me too.
Constantine keeps referring to the word festival, and I think I think it's a word that you probably chose very carefully,
deliberately. So,
you know, makes me think of the Grahamstown Festival. Makes me think of, you know,
copies,
people doing stuff, yeah, as opposed to just looking at stuff.
True.
That's a very good way to put it. And yeah, you might have seen the billboard. We used actually from time to time the word Grand Fest Auto,
yes,
because we actually thought that actually captures it. Yeah. Also quite. It's going to be grand. It's not a small show. It's going to be grand. It's going to be a festival, and it's all about automotives. And the point is, all of us, you know, even the people that say, "Oh, I don't care about cars," you know, they still give a name to their car. You know,
yeah. Exactly.
I mean, everybody has got an emotional relationship. Everybody. It doesn't matter who you ask, they can tell you which was the first car they ever owned, and what the name is, and what the little things you had to do. So everybody has got an emotional relationship. It's a beautiful product to actually have an emotional product connection to, and we want to celebrate that. And so, yeah, you're absolutely right. It's a lot of things to do, good food, just come along.
I actually wanted to ask, I mean, if you are sitting there, and I mean, you're a full-blown petrol head and you're wanting to drag the family along, I mean, the youngsters, the kids, and possibly the spouses and that aren't necessarily as involved in it as what you are, what's there for them to take a look at and do, and what keeps them occupied?
So there's going to be live music all day long. And we have a main act also every day. Then for the kids, we have stunt shows. Then we have also kids activation areas. So we have like a Lego experience. We have a PlayStation experience. We have like a little motorbike area where they can go. And interestingly enough, there's also some fashion elements there. So, you know, like the car manufacturers have fashion lines and so on and so forth. So there's like a, and very good food. And look, it's like a, if it's like my children, I mean, my kids are gonna completely ignore the little kids zone because they just want to see the cars. and you know, we sometimes underestimate the power of cars to those little kids. And I can't wait to teach my son one or two things about cars. I'm pretty sure he's gonna tell me more about cars than I'll tell him about cars.
I agree, because I've got the same problem at home with Mark too. But just if you think about festival, I mean, if you just have a look at the band lineup, so you got Monarch playing on Wednesday night, Thursday night, I would actually go and watch his the Ice Bands. And then there's an Umpa band.
It's actually quite funny because everybody's looking at this one. It's actually a very good band, but nobody knows about it. It's really just an atmosphere band. But the Monarch on Wednesday is great.
Yeah, and then you've got Jesse Clegg on Friday night. Yes. And then Saturday there's Darren Simpson, Ground Level, Waterfront Band, and Ground Level again. And then on Sunday, Mikasa at 1 o'clock.
I was about to ask, that list is exclusive.
This is an exclusive list.
No. What I mean is, I'm listening to the bands. I'm like, keep going, because you want some Soweto boy.
There we go.
So I'm happy. I'm happy now. I see. I've got.
And he's got the big sign off at the end of the festival. You see, always something for the brothers, eh?
the draw card.
Brothers, he says.
But yeah. These are just the main acts. We have a lot of like less known bands also on the in another area playing all day long. So it's like those are just some names that are recognized in the out there. But we also have other bands playing there all day long.
Jesus, looks like you've catered for everything. I mean, you've got the ride and drive, you've got the track program to showcase the cars, you've got music, you've got food, you've got stuff for the family to do. Is there anything you didn't think about?
Look, I mean, we have the car industry is like a very professional industry, so obviously my clients are the big car manufacturers, and you know they're quite demanding, so we had to make sure that the show is highly professional. So it's not, you know, like you see, and this is the only show in the country that is actually endorsed by the actual car manufacturers themselves. You know, you have like a lot of, you mentioned the 4x4. I was at the 4x4 shows. You know, though there you have more dealership involvement.
Sure.
This is like where the actual car manufacturer showcase, and that's the only one in the country. So it is obviously a bit of a different level of professionalism required in this regard, because this is like where the car industry is showcasing themselves and saying, this is who we are. Yeah. This is our DNA here in South Africa.
It's not like they're just going to come down, park some cars on the floor. I mean, these guys are apps. They're making bespoke activations for people. Tell us a little bit about the VW thing.
Let me tell you, like Mercedes-Benz is going to bring out a car out of Germany, and they actually have David Coulthard coming and racing the car for them on Tuesday, on Wednesday.
I mean, that's a draw card.
Also from Germany.
Yeah. And the cars from Germany. And you know the Germans are very special about their cars, so they don't have, you know, they actually bring the whole team with. BMW is bringing a DTM car, also with their old car, whole team. Nissan is going to bring like the whole range of like a couple, not only one or two, they're bringing a couple of brand new GTRs, the one that was just launched in New York.
It is actually the official press launch of the GTR.
It is the official, correct. Yeah. And we have like even small. I mean, Datsun is going to launch a new car on the show.
BMW is launching as well.
BMW is launching a new car on the show. We have like Jaguar is bringing the F-Type SVR the first time to be seen on the show. So the car manufacturers are really using this opportunity also as a platform to launch a new car. Interesting, Mercedes-Benz also going to have like the whole area where they're showing the new technology that they have in the car.
I thought you were going to say they're going to bring the GL 6x6, but anyway.
That's all Seppo wants to drive.
They do have a 4x4 experience as well, so I'm not sure which car they bring, but they're going to bring...
It may very well be
one. They may very well. So.
Wow, that's cool.
That's fantastic. Guys, come out and support the event. I wanted to ask you one more question. In terms of... you've obviously worked on other shows around the world and your organization, you know, this is what you guys do. How would this show compare to other shows? I know it's a first, but could you plug this into any other country and would it be a world class show?
Look, I mean, you always have to capture the flair of the country. So this is going to be a South African show,
sure.
And especially if you are in a venue like Kyalami, and it doesn't matter who you talk to, they have a story about Kyalami. So the most important is that you make it specific for the country, but the actual concept of moving away from a static motor show to an interactive motor show, moving away from a like more business-like environment towards a festival.
Yes,
I think that concept can work all over the world. And interestingly enough, we're going to have a lot of international guests looking at the show to see if they can do it in their country as well.
Well, this is so good for our tourism as well.
No, it's absolutely fantastic. I really think it's great, and I'm really excited about the show. I really think it's going to be awesome.
I think you're going to be overwhelmed.
Well, I hope so. And as I said, if you are really want to get the driving experience, really, I can't urge enough. Come Wednesday to Friday, because I think Saturday, Sunday, yes, we're going to be quite full. But Wednesday to Friday, and even after 5 o'clock.
Yeah.
So the test drives, where you can actually test drive yourself a couple of vehicles, is open till 9 o'clock in the evening. So come after work. And, you know, just have dinner there and test drive a few cars.
And I see that kids below the age of 10, it's a 10 rand administration fee that you pay for them. So, you know, that's really, really cool. Yeah. So, guys, yeah, I think for more information, guys can log on to your website, which is safestivalofmotoring.com. All the details are on the site. The site really has absolutely everything. There's some really cool videos in there.
Grand, eh?
Well, there we go. Yeah. You see. Yeah, Constantine, thank you so much for joining us in studio today. We wish you all the success in the world with the show.
Thank you very much.
And I know Chad's going to be there. I'm definitely going to be there. I'm sure George and Tepo will be there as well.
I'm sure the South African black, I'm sure, or the maybe. Which one? You know?
No, something? That's the I'm sure.
Okay, like you are sure.
100%.
Okay. Yes.
Okay, definitely. Well,
but I have a question for you, Constantine, before you leave us. What's your first car that you ever drove, that you ever owned?
My first car I ever drove was an old Opel Kadett, and my wife still jokes about me because it was actually a station wagon. and she said, well, it was back in Germany, and you know, I thought it was quite cool. She says, no, if I had known you at this time, I would have never married you.
That's the effect that cars have, eh?
But that's also that's the difference between the European mindset and the South African mindset. South Africans just hate the wagons, it just doesn't sell here. Whereas over in Europe, it's
practical.
An estate is legendary, you know, that you baller if you're running an estate.
But it makes complete sense. I mean, that's a proper family vehicle if you think about it. I mean, and there's space for all your stuff in the back.
Yeah, good.
You
know, I was 18, so I think.
Well, there's space in the back for other
stuff. For a lot of that, we know.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, okay, South Africa. Especially those cold German winters.
Estate is the fortuna. I just wanted to ask quickly before we close with you, are we looking to do Festival of Motoring now on an annual basis, or are we going to do it biannually?
It's a very, very good question. So, We are geared to do it annually,
okay.
But obviously it depends a bit on how this first show comes out. If we don't have the public coming to the show, we might have to relook at the whole concept again, and we might could probably biannually. If we really have the numbers that we're looking for coming, it's going to be an annual show. And we actually have a lot of plans already in the pocket. Or in the drawer, I don't know what the real thing is to say, but we have a lot of plans already how you can actually improve the show on a year-to-year basis, because you're going to have to reinvent some elements of the show
keep
every
it
year.
Fresh.
Yeah. We have the plans already in the pocket.
I have ideas for you.
Yeah, come and talk to me.
Wherever your billboards are, have like a massive sound system and a car that's covered, but then just have the car idling and say, you want to see this? Come to South Africa. Well,
that's a great idea.
Yeah. And rev it out when the traffic's jammed.
I'd love to see you actually set those up around the country. Eh? No, man, no, but no budget issues for you.
Budget is no issues. Look, okay, the sound system doesn't have to be there. You can have just the car. And it doesn't even have to be a car.
It could just be a fake piece of wood covered.
But the sound is better.
No, the sound would definitely help.
Oh, trust me, the sound is better. I want to hear that thing.
You're from Durban.
No, I'm not from. No, actually, I saw the Land Rover SVR. Have you heard about that thing? Range Rover Sport SVR. Did you hear the sound of that thing? SRT8 can go fly, buddy. That thing sounds beautiful.
You're picking on the wrong one now.
Oh no! But you must listen to that. Okay, it still sounds fantastic, Mar. As compared to the SVR, I'm not so sure. No, that thing sounds beautiful.
Well, anyway, gentlemen, any other questions for Constantine? I'm sure he's got a full schedule.
Are there beer gardens? I mean, if it's a
that is the best question I've ever heard. You see, I'm German, so the first thing I was like, when I look at it, there's a beer garden.
Yes, please.
Yeah. And there's a beer garden. And the one thing I did is we're actually making sure, like the one thing that I said when I came in is like, the festival can be ruined if you get warm beer at an overpriced. So basically we have, in this beer garden, we have draft beer at 27 Rand, 27 Rand, because I said, that is the one thing I have to control when I get
Well, that's exactly, and 27 Rand for a draft is damn cheap.
For a craft draft.
Yeah. I went to a craft German church festival yesterday, and they were charging us 35 Rand for a draft. So
church festival, German church festival beer? What?
I'm struggling to piece that one together.
It's the German Catholic community.
And they had beers for sale.
Yeah, well, they throw like a church bazaar every year. It's awesome.
That's a cool church, man.
Yeah. Guys in Lederhosen, and there were umpa bands and everything. So, like, this was kind of like the precursor to more German activities happening this weekend.
Hmm.
My little warm-up. Fantastic. Constantine, thanks so much for joining us. And yeah, guys, get out there, go to the show, support the show. We need this kind of stuff in this country, and I really, really think these guys have gone all out. The manufacturers are on board, and it really is going to be a good show. So thanks very much.
Not everyone who likes cars is a petrolhead. Some of us prefer the unmotoring side of cars. Yet we all spend so much time in these machines that they have become an extension of our personalities and reflect quite a bit about who we are and where we are in our life stages. On Auto Central, we understand this.
Make sure you're up to speed with all things motoring by tuning into Auto Central every Monday morning at 9 a.m. just after the Gareth Cliff Show, or download the podcast on autotrader.co.za. Auto Central, motoring's biggest power hour, powered by
Cliff Central.
The revolution.
I've got something important to tell you.
CliffCentral.com.
Car news and reviews on Auto Central.
Right, we're back. Yeah, let's get into it. Let's talk a little bit of cars. Chad, I think you're telling us today about the Pajero Legend 2. You went on the launch, huh?
The long wheelbase.
Yeah, not Pajero Sport. Pajero. Okay. So it is the smaller one. I mean, we sampled the short wheelbase one, the Pajero Legend 3, or the 3.2 DI DGLS Legend 2 is the whole double barrel, triple barrel extended name on that one. And they did it in a very, very novel way. Now, just straight off the bat, the Pajero 3-door or the regular Pajero with a 3.2 is actually not a new vehicle. So it's not a new chassis, it's not a new body or anything of the sorts. This was more a launch around the Legend 2. And it's the Legend 2 because I've done the Legend before, the Pajero Legend. And Legend 2 is more just an accessory pack, and it's an option. It's a bit of a last hurrah. Because what's happening is there was a lot of drama around this, actually, because... The CEO, the chief bigwig, the grootkop from Mitsubishi, came out and said that, listen, the Pajero's is no more. It's the Pajero's dead, essentially, is what he came out and he said. And people ran around waving their handbags in the air with their hair on fire, the whole works, thinking, no, how can you do this? I mean, we love this car. This is why can you just end it like this? And it was lost in translation a little bit.
Oh, okay.
What he was actually trying to say is that the Pajero in its current format with a 3.2 litre motor is actually no longer feasible to produce. It's not meeting emissions criteria. There's better motors out there. The chassis needs a revamp. So the current Pajero is going to bed. And there will be a new Pajero, but just not a direct replacement straight after they stop production of the current Pajero. And the Legend 2 is just basically a last hurrah for the Pajero in both the short wheelbase and the long wheelbase with a 3.2 litre motor. So you'll no longer be able to get it with a 3.2 litre motor once this one is gone. It's coming out with a 2.4 and a 2.5 litre motor, turbo diesel and petrol motors. And I tell you what, this is actually it's going to be sad to see this motor go.
This car has been around for a long time,
a very long time.
And it's a tough car,
very long time.
Hard as nails, hey?
Yes,
but not in a bad way. Because I mean, we experienced it, and we'll touch base on that just now about like the Land Rover Defender. You know, that was also tough as nails. You know, like an old shoe. It was
a hard car.
It was hard. It was hard and well weathered, and you know, it's been around the block, and it's stood the test of time per se. The Pajero also just as tough, but with such a level of refinement to it still that just really warrants the price. I really, really enjoyed this car. I would spend my money on this car in a heartbeat.
Okay.
And even just the three-door. So two doors, rear ingress and egress is a little cramped and a little tricky at times and that, but how often do you really have people in the back? If you've got a family, if you're a family person, grab the five-door.
Yeah, five-door.
It's a little bit longer than that. But they launched this, and the whole premise around the Legend 2 is that it's got bush-ready accessories. So straight off the bat, you're buying it off the floor with front nudge bar. It's got an engine protection plate and transmission protection plate.
Sure.
On the long wheelbase, it's got rock sliders. You don't need that on the short wheelbase. It's got a very narrow breakover angle. It's got a tow bar. It's got your inside has got mats. It's got a separate Garmin Cam Nuvi, so it's a dash cam and navigation, but it's loaded with your off-road maps.
That is standard.
So that is standard, and floor mats and that. All of that is standard. I'm just trying to think now. I'm pretty sure there's another thing that I'm missing there. Oh, Yokohama Geolander tires. So you can walk into the dealership and purchase this and go and hit the bush. Straight off the bat. Because these are the items that you would ordinarily fit if you're actually going to take this car into the bush.
Yeah.
You know, you're going to fit the nudge bars and the bash plates and all that sort of thing. And, of course, the tow bar for your Fender and your whatever Campmaster off-road trailer and that, and you're going to head out.
For your quad.
For your quad or whatever. And the thing is, this is now, because it's fitted by Mitsubishi, it's all accredited.
Sure.
Because you can go, then you can fit nudge bars and bull bars and that sort of stuff and bush bars.
Hoy holes into your bumper and
And you and what now? Think of this: you've got safety systems. It's a luxury SUV. This, you've got safety systems like airbags and that sort of thing in place. How can you be sure that this aftermarket accessory that you've fitted isn't going to interfere with it? Either trigger it when it's not an accident. Or actually still allow it to trigger when there is the event of an accident. Sure. You know, so these are all Mitsubishi approved fitted pieces. So you complete
peace of mind, eh?
And I mean, the pricing's not that bad. I mean, it's a very capable vehicle. Just to give you the specs on them, it's a little pricier than that. But I mean, it is trimmed. It's properly trimmed. You're sitting there with proper climate control, electronics in terms of your stability systems and the likes, descent controls, full leather interior. It is really, really well trimmed. It is so nice to spend time in it. As it compares, if you take a look at the normal GLS Pajero 3-door, it's going to come in at 660. This comes in at 690, so you're paying 30k extra for all of these accessories. And, I mean, it's they're subsidizing the majority of it, and then, of course, it's approved as well. And a very, very capable vehicle. We actually launched it by going out to Rhino Park out in towards Bobsonton side.
Yeah, because it was a bit of a competition that went down.
It was a bit of a competition, and Lawrence, me and myself, we actually went and tackled this with a whole bunch of journalists from around the country that came in from Durban and Cape Town, guys that are dedicated 4x4 enthusiasts, and they held a bit of a competition, three different sections. There was a basically like a beach sand gymkhana, which is an absolute nightmare. You think, okay, it's a gymkhana, so you're going to race around here.
Yeah.
You can't plant your foot. You plant your foot and you just light up and you dig yourself in.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's actually tippy-toeing around and constantly balancing what is traction and what is speed. There was a section called Rooibos, which is very, very intense, proper competitive off-roading, where they put PVC pipes up about 10 mils or so, wider than the wing mirrors of the car, and they go and put a golf ball on top of it. You knock the golf ball over, you lose points. So you start each obstacle, and they could do like 10 obstacles. You start each obstacle with 100 points. For every golf ball that you knock over, you lose 10 points or 20 points.
Sure.
So you can only knock over, let's say, 5 of them. And this gets now tricky because these things are planted up straight, but the ground is actually at a 45-degree angle.
So you've got to count.
So you need to know where the bottom of that wheel is and how high the top of it is. You know, you're working in a three-dimensional space constantly. And then having to know what the turning circle is, because if you don't turn it at the right time to full lock, you're never going to make the turn. They make it that tight.
Jeez,
and you're constantly up and down, and you're working with the gearing. And
I suppose it's better than just, you know, taking, sorry, George, taking it just for a random drive.
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah. This really put it through its paces.
And how did this Pajero perform?
Yeah.
Fantastic. I was absolutely blown away. And that's one of the reasons why I think I took a liking to it as much, is because I realized how capable it is because I've actually put it through its paces. You know, not many people get a chance to put their car through the paces like this. I would highly recommend it. If you've got a 4x4, go out. Just go and do a course with somebody. They're not expensive, so that they can show you how to do it, and then go out with a couple of your mates and go and do just some of these courses. They're all over the place.
How has this Pajero changed over the years? Because it's been around for a long time. And how has it changed?
Because surely it's become refined, hey?
Yeah, it's become refined. So, I mean, surely they don't push that thing out of the factory on go number one and it's that perfect.
No. I mean, I can't go all the way back and say, listen, the first Pajero, it's a massive improvement. I don't have the experience, and especially not this kind of experience, to be able to say, oh, it's lost some of its off-road capability. I can tell you that it's a capable vehicle now, but I can't say whether the previous generations were more capable or less capable. You know, if I was comparing them head to head, I'd be able to say, but even over a couple of years, sometimes it's a little tough to say. I just think that currently it is a very, very good package, but what Mitsubishi is saying is that the motor and the drivetrain are now dated. The rest of the bodywork and the interior and the luxury that's built into the vehicle is being let down by the older technology. So we need to update that technology. And while we get that right, you guys just need to hang five and enjoy the last couple. And I mean, the thing is, they were saying that they've got so many repeat clientele. The Mitsubishi is known as a cunny do it.
Yeah.
That they're going to go
like
there.
The Hilux used to be.
Yeah and they don't sell it. They just go and buy a new one. They don't go and trade this one in on the new one. They go and they send it off to the holiday house, or they go and leave it at the home as a spare car or something of the sorts. They just don't get rid of it. You know, people, you battle.
They build a bond.
It's not because you battle to sell it, but yeah, they build a relationship with it that they can't let it go, and they'll leave it down at the coast and that at the aunt's place or whatever, and that's the car for when they go down in December. It only gets driven once a year, but they leave it there. It's worth more to them in their hands than, and they can't fathom selling it.
Sure.
So, yeah, very personal vehicle. And very good news is amongst the 3 days and all the teams that competed, yeah, Lawrence and myself took top honours.
Oh, well done.
Yeah. So, little feather in the hat, they're going to brag a little bit, but no, I think I'm entitled
and that,
to.
Yeah, and that wasn't the car.
No. Well, everybody was in the same car.
So, okay. So you can then say it was the driver's skill.
It's not what you drive, it's who drives and how you drive it.
Because, yeah, it's quite tricky because in that sort of competition, I was driving and Lawrence was now the spotter navigator. Mm. In certain instances, he'd be alongside me, but other than that, he'd be out and he'd go and walk over the obstacle or
but
whatever.
That's the
it
proper
was,
way to
yeah,
fall
yeah,
and stand there and direct me, you know, turn left and right, etc., you know, a little forward, a little faster, a little slower. Because, of course, on these obstacles and that, you're not allowed to roll back. You're not allowed to come to a complete stop. You know, there's a whole batch of rules there. And you actually need to play clever. It's actually fascinating. Whoa. If you get a chance, go onto YouTube or something of the sort and go and take a look at competitive off-road, especially if you've got a car. If you've got a vehicle that can do it, it's got 4x4 and a...
My brothers, are you hearing this? My brothers and sisters, are you hearing this?
Exactly. Go and take
those guys and enjoy them.
Yeah. Go and take a look at it. There's so many places scattered around Joburg. We've got a couple of articles that, out and about on Auto Trader as well as to where you can go and do this type of stuff. It was largely spurred on by this. We enjoyed this so much that the two of us actually sat there and said, we could get into doing this competitively. We're going to go and find an old, scrappy 1970 whatever 4x4 and just go and compete for the sake of competing because we love this challenge. And there's a national series in South Africa. Naturally, it doesn't get TV time and the likes because, well, people don't know it exists. But it is out there, and you can go and compete, and you can go and compete in everything from your Hilux to your Fortuna to your Suzuki Jimny. And I mean, your Suzuki Jimny, if I'm not mistaken, is actually leading the championship.
Oh, well.
I
won't
be surprised because at this
short wheel base, about 5 kilos.
Yeah.
Other cars like your Land Cruiser had to do 3-point turns.
Yeah. That's it. Yeah.
You know, and your Jimny just going all the way through. And I must say, I've got a whole new respect for the Discovery 4. I think HSE. I think.
Yeah.
Jeez, no.
Yeah, because you were playing with that on the weekend, weren't you?
Yeah, this guy called Davi. He's actually not a salesman, but he says he's an instructor.
Okay,
Mr. Willoughby.
But is that his surname?
Could be.
Yeah.
Well, let's just tell you, because you went to the 4x4 outdoor show at Swartkopf that we spoke about last week.
That's correct. It was beautiful. I mean, on the one section, it was just expos of accessories and stuff, and on the other side of the track, it was just this whole beautifully laid out track where you just pick whatever car you want to go into, and you pay only $100 at the door. You don't have to pay anything extra. Yeah. It was actually beautiful. So I went on to the Discovery 4 with my entire family, and my child, my 2-year-old, actually fell asleep.
Oh, really?
I promise you, she fell asleep. That's how comfortable it all was. And then I went on to the Land Cruiser.
Good car.
Oh yes.
Oh, lovely.
Except the guy said if it came with a Fox suspension. So if you don't have the Fox suspension, then it's not going to be that comfortable.
Okay.
So I suppose, I mean, it's not like the Pajero where you just buy it and go straight off.
Yes, you've got to go and get that
done. Must do this and this, and then the tires are bigger. And then because it's longer, you have to do 3.10s. And there was a G-Wagon there as well.
Mm.
Subarus were there. It was quite fun.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah, so you could go on all these rides
for
nothing.
What a pleasure.
Lovely, fantastic.
What a pleasure. Nice. Well, just touching on family rides, and we don't want to let the cat out the bag, but we had a fantastic Monday after last Monday's show.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we let a little bit on saying that we're going to go out and do this sort of
So I think maybe
project.
Let's just report back and keep people in the loop.
Yeah, it was the Land Rover Defender, of course.
110.
110 Adventure. Once again, another last hurrah, because now the Defender is no more. They've stopped making that one. So
it's all going to become electric.
Ball, yeah, largely. I mean, I went from that into a Prius, and I mean, it's a little chalk,
it's all become
little chalk and cheese.
Sorry, Chad. My note to Land Rover, can they make the rest is just recline a bit?
Just recline just a little
yeah,
bit.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, because you and I were in the back of that car.
Yeah, no.
So we just tell people what we did. We selected 4 Land Rover print adverts. And our challenge was to see if we could go and recreate them in Johannesburg.
All surrounds.
Well, all surrounds. Yeah, I mean, surrounds. We weren't going to drive too far, but,
But we never left Gauteng.
And we had like the rocky outcrops, we had bushland, we had
almost salt plains,
and then we had a water crossing. And yeah.
But that was more fluke than anything else. And thank you, Seps. That was
I saw some of them, and they look.
No,
amazing.
I mean, I think we've done a fantastic job, and we're opening an agency. So if there are OEMs out there listening, we'll get it done cheaper and quicker. Yeah, fantastic, fantastic. Yeah,
you can compare the work that it was done by that very very expensive agency, and compare it to us. And hey, we'll talk a deal there.
There we go. There we go. Well, we did. I mean, we created 4 adverts. Mm-hmm. With if we take our driving time,
we
take our driving time and what we achieved with a photographer, and then
we did it in like 5 hours.
Some 5 hours, yeah. And then some post.
Yeah,
a little bit
of photo manipulation here and there. I mean, and this was just spur of the moment. This wasn't even a planned shoot. We climbed into the car and we said, okay, would we be able to get this? Does anybody know a place?
Yeah.
This wasn't planned beforehand, and we just drove.
Yeah.
And within probably a 30-40 kilometer vicinity, you know, we found 4 very stark different locations where we were able to get very, very, very close to those print ads and a little bit of photo manipulation, you know, just to change the sky and
tweak the buildings out,
tweak and mod a little bit, remove a power line or whatever. And that's not to say that wasn't done in those original print ads.
No,
I can promise
exactly.
you it was done.
No, exactly.
And
exactly.
We got that done, and in the process, we filmed all of it a la reality TV. So yeah. We've got that video that's going to be coming your way. If you want to see our video where we do flex the Pajero, and I mean properly flex it, looking like a tripod three-wheeling it all over the place in the Pajero, that video drops today.
Oh, fantastic.
So the Auto Trader YouTube channel and also on site, the newsletter will go out. If you want to stay up to date with all this sort of information and the new videos that come out every week, subscribe to the newsletter. It comes out once, sometimes twice if it's a busy news week. Twice. We don't spam you. We don't send your details on to third parties and that sort of stuff.
Just,
so that you're going to
relevant motoring content.
Funny Bessie's bake sale emails coming in or something of the sorts. Yeah. Actually, I shouldn't use Tony Bessie, eh?
No.
You have.
Sorry, I'm glad you didn't say Margaret, though. So,
That's not the hockey owners, please.
Okay, guys. Chad, thanks very much. So, like Chad said, go and check out all this information on Auto Trader and our social channels. And, stay tuned because we're going to be talking tech next.
Talking tech on Auto Central.
No, and we're back to talk tech.
George,
I know, we need to change it. Maybe we need to like tell people, listen, this is just a quick sting, and then we go into our new segment.
But you know this by now.
Yeah, but the last one, you had this long intro.
Yeah,
but old Darby listening to us there on the other side, he just got up thinking, I can take a quick bathroom break. And he's like, now I need to hold it.
he's listening out loud. So, I think, George, we've obviously chosen a topic here this morning. And I think something that we've unpacked slightly and we've spoken about specific product things. But the number of big brands that are partnering with other big brands to kind of take over this whole autonomous driving world that we're slowly moving into it's happening.
It's hotting up. But you know, if we just kind of tell the story that precedes this, and how experts are expecting this market to go, we're sitting at the tail end of 2016.
That's right.
Yeah. And if you think about 2020. Is not that far away.
And
experts expect the first autonomously driving cars to be on the roads by 2020. That's, if you take 2016 as gone, that's three and a half years.
Yeah. I mean, Tepo, you'll nearly be 50, bud.
Enough.
Fully autonomous driving cars by 2020. They reckon by the mid-2030s, this industry analyst, IHS Automotive Projects, say that there will be 75 million autonomous capable cars on the road. 75 million. Now, I mean, that's a small number in the grand scheme of things around the world. And mostly probably the United States.
Yeah, but it's still a big number.
I mean, in a very short space of time. So, I mean, what does it do? The one thing that it does do is it shifts responsibility. So
less accidents.
Mm-hmm. Number one, because believe it or not, 94% of accidents are human error.
Yeah.
So and now it shifts insurance culpability.
I mean, it's going to change a lot of industries, isn't it?
Everything.
We'll pay cheaper insurance. We'll drink more.
Possibly.
They reckon that accidents will drop by 80% by 2040 because of autonomous driving cars.
Jesus, hallelujah.
Yeah. That's the right thing to say.
No, it is, because I mean our roads are shocking.
We're just going to drink more.
Drink more water, yes.
Look, on the real though, because if you know the car can do it for you, then you're not. People are not really going
to
worry about.
No, but I'm sure. If something does go wrong, the driver has to be in a frame of mind to be able to take control of that car.
It's going
to
be many, many years before you sit there with this full blown Tron, you know, futuristic thing of you just climbing a car and it just automatically shuttles you. You know, you're still going to have to be a corpus mentis, sober person.
What's corpus mentis? Able minded.
Yes, quite. Alert.
Why did you just say that, Matt? You know this guy wants to confuse me.
So they reckon that personal insurance in these self-driving cars will drop within that period of time by between 5% and 20%, and that 5% and 20% will move on to the manufacturer of the car. So there's a massive dynamic that's going to happen.
Yeah, because they're essentially now going to be taking, you know, responsibility for that. So that's a massive risk.
So ride sharing companies will operate fleets of cars, and that's where all of this partnering that you're talking about comes into play, because now everybody and their cat are starting to get involved in spending millions and millions of rands partnering with the car manufacturers. Uber's the first one.
Yeah.
Signed a $300 million deal for Volvo to provide SUVs to Uber for the autonomous vehicle research.
Yeah, because that's and that's happening in Pittsburgh, in the States. Yeah, and they're going to be used as taxis. Am I right?
They're going to be used as taxis, but it's all to do research, and so Uber's partnered with Volvo, Toyota, and Otto, and then Lyft, which is one of the competitors, has invested $500 million with General Motors and Cruise Automation. I mean, and this list goes on.
Sure.
And Cruise Automation, the company that make the autonomous vehicle software.
I'm sitting here and I'm just piecing and I'm listening to these names and that, and I'm wondering where Google is in all of this.
Well, that's the next one.
Yeah.
Google and Fiat Chrysler have partnered. So Alphabet's Google, which has been working for self-driving cars since 2001.
What I heard there was Nokia and Symbian partnering together.
Yeah.
That went well.
What would you have liked Google to partner with?
No, Google with a tech-savvy, tech-advanced company, so the likes of your Daimler, Mercedes-Benz, BMW AG, you know, that sort of thing. Cars that have been very pioneering, even your Volvos and that. Volvo was very pioneering in terms of its safety, but in terms of autonomous systems, you have to look Mercedes-Benz S-Classes and BMW 7 Series and the likes for being the pioneers in that. And especially in terms of an electronic technology side of things, they're very tech-savvy there.
Well, I mean, VW, big brand, partnering with a crowd that I've never heard of, Get.
Get said they'll provide VW with the technology to expand beyond car ownership and into the ride and car sharing kind of.
I would have thought model. VW, like you mentioned, would have partnered with Uber. But Get's Uber's a competitor, and VW's gone and partnered with Get, also pouring $300 million into this. And this all at the moment is all research money. It's all kind of going to explore. You know, and if you count up all that money, you've got over $1 billion there already.
Okay, that who's paying for?
You and me.
We're going to end up paying for it. Okay, because this is going to be, you're going to be paying for the R&D. So an autonomous driving car is not going to be cheap, because that cost needs to be offset by the of the R&D needs to be offset by the sale of the vehicles, so the cars are not going to be cheap when they come around. We're going to be paying for it.
Here's a smart partnership, in my opinion. BMW with Intel.
I can see that,
because it means that they're going to put a lot of money into the chips that are going into that
chipsets
car.
Yeah, and chipset developments
and how those cars
processing
are
powers
advance.
And because that's something that's going to be very, very important. I mean, the first couple of autonomous driving vehicles essentially didn't have a boot because that was filled with computers, processors, and batteries to run these computers. You know, and of course now if you're wanting to put it into a vehicle or a package that can be used as a taxi, and that's not going to fly. You need boot space. You need passenger space in it as well. So yeah, working on that with a company like BMW.
No, the thing from your traditional taxis, luggage stays on your lap
or on the roof.
Or you hook a trailer.
Or you can put the luggage inside and you hang on the roof. You see that sort of in the middle.
How's this for a vision? Ford have got a vision that they want a fleet by 2021 that has no steering wheels or pedals.
2021.
Yes. They want a ride-sharing fleet by 2021.
4 years.
Self-driving car. I mean,
completely.
I think it's a bit ambitious, though. But they've partnered with a company that I can't even say.
It's not a car anymore.
Yeah, I can't pronounce their name. But $150 million. So Audi and Mercedes and BMW have partnered with a company called Yeah. And then Nissan has partnered with
NASA.
Oh my.
Yeah.
Oh dear.
No. Yeah. Listen to this. So under a 5-year partnership, researchers from Nissan and NASA are working on autonomous driving systems and human-machine interface projects with software that can be used on both cars and planetary rovers. Nissan hopes to have self-driving cars on the road by 2020. I mean, that's.
I don't mean to say this or that, but if you want to get stuff done,
NASA.
That's
NASA.
The company.
Yeah.
Okay. So. I think Nissan has drawn the trump card there.
Setting
yeah.
the bar high, hey?
But definitely. if you think about it, this is around the corner, and the ambitions of these companies are unbelievable, and I think it's just going to gain momentum.
Well, that's the thing, and I also think they're paving way for other manufacturers in other sectors to start partnering with tech companies.
Well, these are all the major groups, hey?
Yes, exactly.
These are all the major motor manufacturing groups. Let me get that right. It's a Monday morning. So you're going to see it there. I mean, there's one or two that are sort of missing there, but I mean, like you say, FCA, I mean, this is the Fiat Chrysler Association. There's a good number under that. VAG, I mean, the Volkswagen Audi group is just, that one is massive alone. And many of these have got subsidiary companies as well that run commercial. So you're talking about the likes of your Scania trucks, Volvo trucks, and I can tell you now, they're going to be plowing it into the commercial side of things as well.
It'd be a scary day when I see a truck on the road, 16-wheeler, and there's no driver in that.
No, but I think see, the discipline is unquestionable. You're not going to get a fatigued driver or a driver with ill discipline. In the trucks, it's actually even better.
But that's not going to be scary, though.
But that's who Otto is. So Uber, Volvo, Toyota, and Otto. And Otto is a startup that's developed software that lets big rigs drive autonomously. Yeah.
But the problem with those driverless trucks is there'll be no employment for the prostitutes.
And on that note,
it had to come.
No.
Yeah, but you're also not going to get trucks trying to overtake each other up from
That's
rear
ends. That's a lovely thing.
Yeah, exactly.
Because I boored on the N3 this weekend.
Yeah.
And trust me. That was not a lack of jewel.
Anyway, gentlemen, listen, it's been a fantastic show. George, thanks very much for being back in the studio. Chad, thank you. Tepo.
Awesome, pleasure.
I think people get out there, go to the SA Festival of Motoring. It's going to be an absolute crack. I really think it's going to be a great event, and I think it's good for the motoring industry in South Africa.
And if you've got a 4x4, go out there. Use low range.
Yeah, definitely. Go have fun.
Next week, I'm going to bring you pictures of these guys from Soweto, their own classic cars. What's the car that I just showed you?
You were showing me a Pontiac Trans Am, yeah.
Yeah.
They've got the SL500 Mercedes-Benz left. Ooh, I'll bring you pictures next week.
Okay, well, fantastic. That'll be lovely.
Yeah, rally the troops.
Yep. Guys, thanks very much. Have a fantastic week. Remember, guys, if you're downloading our podcast, join the conversation at AutoTraderSA, hashtag AutoCentral. Check out AutoTrader.co.za's Facebook page, YouTube, all our social platforms, all the information's there.
Instagram, and, Twitter,
Alice. Have a good week, and keep it safe on the roads.
So T, do you know that we host Motoring's biggest power hour?
Yes, I do.
And do you know that it's not just a show about cars, but it's a show that covers a host of relevant motoring topics?
Yes, I do.
And do you know that there are over 1 billion cars currently in use on Earth, and that the new car smell is composed of over 50 volatile organic compounds?
No.
Make sure you're up to speed with all things motoring by tuning in to Auto Central every Monday morning at 9 a.m. just after the Gareth Cliff Show, or download the podcast on autotrader.co.za. Auto Central, motoring's biggest power hour, powered by Auto Trader.
Cliff Central.
I've got something important to tell you.
CliffCentral.com.